And in the Acts of the Apostles, the Lord says, "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." What is the meaning of this? It means evangelism, missionary work. It means that evangelism, missions in general, is a commandment. I will say it again, spreading the gospel is not something optional. It is a commandment. Just like we have the commandments, honor your father and your mother, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not kill. We also have the commandment, you will evangelize. You will speak to your neighbor about Christ. And during confession, as you would confess a sin of lying, stealing, cheating, killing, if you did any immoral deeds, you must also confess that you failed to evangelize, to speak about Christ. If you open the New Testament, from the first page up until the last one, you will find commandments everywhere. When the Lord says, or St. Paul rather, because this is a special circumstance, rejoice, and I will say again, rejoice, or be people of joy, what do you think? That this is something optional, that I can have joy if I want to, and if I don't feel like it, I can be grumpy? No, rejoice is a commandment. As a Christian, you are not allowed to be miserable. You must be a joyful Christian, a cheerful Christian. If you're not a cheerful Christian, then you still did not understand what it means to be a Christian. You did not understand what it means to be a liberated man. You did not understand what it means that God gave me and you a privilege. I am privileged because God has adopted me. I am his child by grace, and he gives me his blessedness. Now, if I have all of the above and a great hope of the kingdom of God, tell me, how can I be gloomy or sad? What does St. Paul say? Doesn't he say rejoicing in the hope? Only because we have the hope of God's kingdom, we should be jumping with joy. He says, rejoicing in the faith and the hope. Because if they tell me that they will give me a certain object, a gift, I believe it, I have faith. However, when I am full of joy because I will soon receive this object, this is no longer faith, but this is the work of hope. Hope is connected with joy, and hope is a virtue. Joy is a virtue as well. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Did you ever imagine that joy is a commandment? Could you imagine this? Evangelizing is even more of a commandment. And there's a number of other things that happen to be commandments. And because we don't see these things, we are drying up as Christians. We are dry Christians because we limit ourselves to look only at these Ten Commandments. And would it be that we even looked at these Ten Commandments properly? How do I wish that our people looked at these commandments properly? And at this point, I will take the opportunity to invite you to come tomorrow, Monday night, God willing, come to class where we'll be analyzing the commandment, do not commit adultery. Oumichevsis in Greek, two words, but do you know how much depth and how much we can expand on these two words? So I invite you to attend tomorrow between 8 and 9 in the evening. We will have the question and answer session. And after that, between 9 and 10 in the evening, our main subject at the Church of St. Stylianos here in Larissa. I invite the young men and the men in general only. Come, regardless if the church is getting too small for us. Come so we can knock down the walls to spill out of the church. So please come, but again, men only, not women. Not because we don't allow women, but we just don't have any room. Women are always allowed in the church, of course, but here, you know, we're running out of space. So we could see, if we could see the commandments the right way, then no problem. Someone could easily grasp the depth of these commandments, but unfortunately, we do not develop much depth. We take things rather superficially. do not commit adultery. Oh, okay, I didn't commit adultery, so I'm okay. Case closed. Now, it's a different story. If you were in love half a dozen of times before your marriage, you were just simply looking for love, so you are not committing adultery. You are making love or fornicating, and this is a different word. So this is not adultery, yeah? It's simply fornication. And it's another matter if you ran into all kinds of perversions and I don't know what else, or if your eyes are feasting on sinful things or where the desires of your heart might be. And you may say, well, I did not commit adultery, so I'm fine. And many women mention this. Some women come here and say, well, you know, I never did anything wrong. I never stepped on my wedding crowns. My friends, adultery is committed in the heart. If we could only see the shape of our heart. This is why we have these talks, to wake up, to come to know ourselves. But let's get back to our main subject, and I will ask, when Christ said, go out and make disciples of all nations, who was he addressing? To whom was this commandment given? We don't see anything in his words that suggests if you have spare time, and if you have nothing else to do, then just go and talk to people about the gospel. Not at all. This is a commandment, a must. For whom? For the 11 disciples? And what would happen once the 11 disciples or 12 disciples, what would happen once they exited this life? Wouldn't this commandment become irrelevant? Of course. So the commandment of evangelizing was only seasonal, one of a limited time, a certain epoch, and necessary only back when? Certainly not. This commandment concerns every faithful without exception. And please listen, just like love in its first plane is given as a commandment, you must love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. You must love the Lord. But this is a commandment. When he says, you must love your neighbor, this is also a commandment. Now imagine the husband telling his wife, I command you to love me. It sounds rather strange and very unnatural. You cannot command me to love you. Create the proper climate, the proper presupposition, and love becomes automatic. So it seems strange at first, my friends, for God to give us a commandment to love him, but again, this is the initial stage. From the moment you receive this expectation of God to love, you will not stop there. You will progress to the second stage. It will become necessary for you to love. Evangelizing and missions works along the same lines. From the moment you receive this commandment, and you begin to love Christ, then you do not need to have Christ reminding you to love, to command you. It will become necessary for you to share and evangelize and confess your faith. Listen how St. Paul expresses this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. So affectionately, with so much fervent love, longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become dear to us. So we are coming to you not because we were commanded by Christ to bring the gospel or to minister to you, but along with the gospel, we are giving our hearts. Our heart belongs to you. What is the meaning of this? The commandment now became the action and the necessity of a loving heart, a loving conscience. So when you share and offer the Word of God, you dip it in your heart. You dip it in love. Consequently, remember this, a man of faith is also an apostle. Please hold on to this. At the moment that you became faithful, at that very moment, you became an apostle, that very moment. Someone faithful is also an apostle. This is the criterion. If you're not an apostle, you really have no faith. This is a result of your fire. Your faith is burning you inside. Your faith is not one of your personal matters that must be kept a secret. It is something that overflows, and you have the great urge to share it, to light up the person next to you. You feel bad if you cannot share and give this joy to others. Many times, our friends, I have to take a taxi, and I don't know if any of these people happen to be here listening to me tonight. It's quite possible. But I take a cab to go to teach at School 303 Monday morning. And many times I will always try to keep something in my bookcase, a pamphlet, a periodical, an article, a tape to give to the taxi driver. And I try to start up a conversation with him. How are your children and how many do you have? And do you keep them in the path of God? And do you go to church? They will often respond, Father, I like to, but I really don't have time to go to church. You don't go to church? Please hear me out. Sunday morning, try to go to church. Try this and you will see how much you will benefit, how much God will bless you. Go to church. Try to get up early Sunday morning and go to church first. And after 10 o'clock, go to your taxi route. You will see how much you will be blessed. God will send much work along your way, and your money will somehow be spent much more wisely in your home. Please try and see. I feel this great need to tell this to people. There are times, however, and I don't know, but I don't feel like opening my mouth. They might be blasting the radio, or the driver is totally self-centered and preoccupied, whatever the case may be. And I feel something eating me inside. I feel that I wasted these 10 minutes. Most of these taxi rides are usually about 10 minutes. And I feel bad because I didn't get the opportunity to put these 10 minutes to good use. And I feel guilty because I couldn't open my mouth to speak to this person, to this driver. And I believe this is how we must feel. I'm being truthful. Sometimes I feel awful. Look at the heretics, for example. Can you see them? The minute they are at an arm's length, they begin to preach to you. And you can't shut them up. Isn't it a shame for us who happen to have the truth not to share it with our brothers? We fail to help our brothers. So hopefully you can see that the commandment, go out and make disciples of all nations, is not something exclusive for the 11 disciples. It is for all the faithful, all the Christians of all ages and all centuries. As I told you, if you believe, you will evangelize. From the moment you became a true believer, you are simultaneously an apostle. However, apostleship does not mean that we must travel to the ends of the earth. Don't think that we need to approach strangers only or to speak to strangers about Christ. My friends, our person next door to us is waiting for the faithful apostle to bring him to Christ, even though he may be a baptized Christian, even though he may be a baptized Orthodox. You see people depressed. You see them struggling in pain, in sorrow. You see them in a state of confusion. Open your mouths and speak two words to them. Now you may say, I don't know what to say to them. I don't know what to say. You heard of a saying, necessity is the mother of invention? And I will repeat this with a minor modification. Love is the mother of invention. St. Augustine says, love and do whatever you want. If you love, if you are truly a person of love, if you love God and you don't want to do him wrong and his glory, and you don't want to harm your neighbor, then you will become wise in your love. You will develop the proper method and people will sense your love. You will speak properly. What would guide you to speak properly? Love. If you truly love and you don't want to do any harm to anyone, you will speak the proper words. Consequently, my friends, if we believe in Christ, we're also sent by Christ. But let's be careful. We are representatives of Christ at every moment and every hour, at every place and every season. You cannot argue that I said this to these people and my job is done. I talked to them one time and now I wash my hands. How many times do we say this? I am finished. I did all I could. You are finished? Unfortunately, I say this myself from time to time as well. I say this to the children of School 303, which frustrate me to no end. You know, the children of our days, the children of this age. Now, we do have a great number of listeners at 303, but nevertheless, I tell them and hopefully they justify my frustration. I say to them, young people, do you understand this? I come here out of a certain responsibility. Many times I feel that I want to give up or I just don't want to go back there anymore. I want to quit. I did all I could. They don't listen. They don't appreciate it. And I'm ready to let them go. But I can't bring myself to do this. I can't. I can't say that, well, I'm finished. I did all I could. I fulfilled my duty. I can't. I will suffer the plight of Prophet Jeremiah. Do you know what happened to this prophet? Read the first chapter of his prophetic book. God told him to go out and speak, go out and prophesy. And he said, Lord, I can't. I'm too small, too young, too immature. I just can't do it. And the fire of the Lord entered the bones of Jeremiah, and his bones began to crack. He was feeling very badly, and he could not find rest. He began to speak, and his bones stopped. They stopped to crackle and burn. This is it. So we can't claim that I did what I could, so I'm finished, I'm done. Tell me, is love ever finished? Is love ever extinguished? No, love never ends. So evangelizing and witnessing must never end. Let's not say that we did our duty. The motive behind witnessing and evangelizing is not simply duty, but love. So Paul says you should not owe anything to anyone, not personal loans or anything else material. Let's pay things quickly if we borrow from another person. This is of great importance not to owe. As much as you can practice this, try not to owe, do not borrow. And if you must borrow, try to pay things off as quickly as possible. As quickly as possible. Let's not take advantage of the other person. Let's not ask for money from a friend or a relative and we forget all about it. Be careful. This is very sinful. This is terrible. So based on this, the apostle says to the Romans in chapter 13, verse 8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. So you will not owe anything to your neighbor, to your brother Christian, except one thing. You will always owe your love to the other person. So the balance of the account of love cannot be paid off. It cannot be satisfied. Likewise, the balance of the account of evangelism cannot be satisfied. The faithful must become fully conscious of the fact that the account of evangelism is always open and will never be paid off. There are no special qualifications necessary. Actually, you only need three things: faith, love, and knowledge of God. These three, faith, love, and knowledge of God. You don't need to be an eloquent speaker or full of peripheral knowledge and wisdom. You don't need special degrees or other qualifications and abilities. Do you have a flame in your heart? Do you believe in God? Do you love Him? Do you know Him? Do you have a close relationship with God? Begin to speak. The words that will come out of your mouth will touch people's hearts, because it is the fruit of faith, of love, and of the knowledge of God. What is strange as well is the fact that you don't need any material things. As you know, today when we speak about missions, our mind goes to money boxes. We always talk about the need for money. If we have money for missionary work, oh, things will be great. My friends, material things are not necessary for the success of evangelism. You will tell me that I'm an unrealistic or a dreamer. One woman in the first years of Christianity converted a very large portion of Central Asia Minor with what? What do you think? One cross made out of a grapevine branch. She had nothing else. But the apostles conquered the entire world with their poverty and their insignificance and simplicity. What did the apostles have? Did they have material wealth and resources? Did they have pensions and Blue Cross and Blue Shield? Did they have pensions? Did they have trip allowances and jets and money? Trust funds, sponsors? What did the apostles have? In reality, we really do not need material things either. St. Paul writes how he got around as an apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Another interesting point here is the statement of the Lord to the Bishop of Philadelphia. For you have little strength, and you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. What is that little strength referring to? It is possible that it is referring to the small number of the faithful of Philadelphia. It could have been a small parish because the church was insignificant regarding its external appearance. Or it can be referring to the modest financial means of the Church of Philadelphia. Another possibility is the outward qualities of the bishop or qualifications. He could have been limited in the area of physical stamina, the ability to speak well, all these external things. But all these did not stop this bishop, even though he had little strength. And Christ says, even though you had little strength, you kept my word and you have not denied my name. You did not deny my name. What word? You kept speaking about me. You kept evangelizing. You worked to spread the gospel. I opened a door for you, and you did not deny my name, but you teach, preach, and confess my name. Quite often, the Lord chooses his workers among those of little strength according to the world, so the success of the preaching of Christ will not be successes attributed to the outstanding worldly qualities such as knowledge and worldly wisdom or the dynamics of a speaker, but to be successes according to Christ. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, and also St. John the Chrysostom interprets this as well, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So here we have it. We must also know that missionary opportunities are given by God only. Behold, he says, "I have set before you an open door." I gave you an open door. You did not open it yourself. I opened this door for you, says the Lord. So our aim should be to discover these opportunities that the Lord gives. We must discover these and take advantage of them. Now, if we run into some difficulties in our missionary endeavors, and we will always run into difficulties, this is an element of authenticity. But regardless, if we find all kinds of difficulties in our missionary efforts, let's not forget that no one can close the door. The Lord said this, no one can shut the door. Difficulties and more difficulties, but no one can close the door because Christ is the one who has the key of David. He is the one who opens and no one shuts, and he shuts and no one can open. Now, if the chest of the faithful is heavily pressed by the volume of evil, especially in our days, the volume of atheism and denial, he would do well to study what happened to St. Paul when he visited Corinth. St. Paul was terrified by the corruption in that city. The entire city was a prostitution center, a center of fornication. And he says, I'm getting out of here. I got to leave this place quickly. And the Lord appears and tells St. Paul, and this is in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18, verses 9 and 10, do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I have many people in this city. And St. Paul stayed 18 months teaching the word of God to the Corinthians. Prophet Elijah had a similar experience as well. He was complaining that he was all by himself. Everyone abandoned the true faith except him. However, it was revealed to him that a huge number of people, 6,000 men with their wives and children, 6,000 families, did not bend their knee to worship Baal. They stayed faithful to the true God. So let's never allow the poison of despair to enter our soul. Someone may say, you're wasting your time. These people will never change. Why are you talking to that person? Forget him. Can't you see how he lives? I could tell you a number of stories on this, but I will rely on the example of St. John the Chrysostom. He says, now you may tell me that the one who was at your sermon yesterday, tonight, he's across the street from the church drinking wine. He's at a bar. Yes, but he's not drinking it the way he would be drinking it had he not heard my sermon. What does this mean? He's drinking his wine, but my words are also ringing in his ear. My words are eating him inside. The words that he heard are bothering his conscience, and this could be the reason of his return. Therefore, we will open our mouths and say a few words, and we can have fruit even in the most unexpected place and time. We can be pleasantly surprised by the results of our efforts. I could tell you amazing stories, but our time is limited. But let's not also forget that we were not sent to reap, but to sow. The evangelist or the apostle does not reap. God reaps. We will sow the seeds. We will open our mouths. The rest is in the hands of God. God will reap. He will harvest on the day of judgment. Finally, in the face of adversities, we must accept the assurance of the Lord who tells Apostle Paul, do not be afraid because I am with you. When did he tell him this? When he was in Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, I am with you. So my friends, if we love the Lord and we have a deep faith in him, we will move ahead first to work his gospel, to evangelize, before the Lord has to tell us, go there and do this and do that. Because our love for Christ and his gospel will automatically move us to action. The person of love has philotimo. He's a philotimo person. And here is another word that I cannot adequately translate for you. Literally means love of honor, a person who loves to take initiative for good things. So we will take this holy initiative to speak about our Christ, our orthodoxy. We will preach about him in our home, in our way to work, on the bus, at work, in the country, everywhere, at every place, and every hour, in opportune times and in inopportune times. Our evangelism will be the best expression of our love for him and his church.